So then, of course, other Hanukkah customs in Israel on Erev means evening, eve of, just of Hanukkah, just before the first night. A marathon runners carry a torch from the flame. They televise it in Israel every year. From the flame of the menorah at the village of Modin to the western wall of the temple to kindle the giant-sized menorah located there for the holiday. During the 8 days, it is customary, of course, to eat potato latkes, jelly donuts, while celebrating God's providential love and protection at this time. And we just talked about, the Shema. So there's Torah readings, and if you want, I could give those to you. And there's Old and New Testament. But I want to touch on more so Jesus. So, like I said, the only reference of the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah is in the New Testament. And Jesus, like I said, it said at the time of the feast, again, John chapter 10, verses 22 and 24, at the time of the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah took place at Jerusalem. It was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And then again, the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And then that was a fulfillment of prophecy that David said. Remember, he said, "Make their eyes a sluggard and, you know, slumber come over them, a veil." And so, as we know, that veil's being lifted. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, something, though, during the season of remembering miracles, and that's the Hebrew word miracles, Nesim, Yeshua pointed out that the works that he attested to his claim, the long-awaited Mashiach to the Jewish people, and we'll read it here in a minute, but John chapter 10, 37 and 38, his works and character clearly displayed the true light of who he was, and these works still shine to us today. Yeshua Jesus was and forever, again, the greatest servant of all, and the greatest Jew that's ever stepped foot on this earth and will ever step foot on this earth. And of course, Jesus Mashiach ben Yosef, and I talked about that in our Seder teaching on Pesach. They always called him Yeshua Mashiach ben Yosef, you know, son of Joseph. The only time they got it right was when he rode in, and in modern times we call it Palm Sunday, but it was when he rode in and they put the palms on. That's the only time they properly gave him reference was Yeshua ben David. The only time. And they got it right. And some people, I believe, got converted and believed because of that. And then, of course, the blinders came on him again and he crucified him, which is what had to happen. So, you know, we see again, Yeshua is the ultimate Shemash. Again, he's the true servant of all. You know, he's our light that enables to shine a sacred fire, which is the Holy Spirit of sacrificial love to the dark and outside world. And Yeshua commanded us to what? Again, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we're commanded to do, right? And he told us that he gave us the light of life. Again, John 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. You know, that's the name of my ministry, Menorah Light Ministries. And I was praying, I was seeking God. He gave me that verse, John 8, 12. He gave me that because he says, I am the light to remind me, Jesus, or I am the light because we're supposed to, Ephesians 5, 1 says, be imitators of God, just like their children, correct? And he said that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we basically see here, Yeshua, our Messiah, gives the light of life. So let's look at John chapter 10 and verses 37 and 38 real quick. And when he said he clearly explained it to them, he did. He said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. So he's talking to the Jews at the time when they asked him that. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. Again, he was giving him another roadpost, another, you ask me why, well, I'm answering you. And I believe some grasped it, and I believe some, you know, it's kind of like when Pastor Jeff or Pastor Kathy, you know, ministers here. You know, it's not our job to be the fruit inspectors. Some get it, right? And some don't. It's, you know, you want everybody to get it, and that was Jesus. You know, John 3:16, God wants it. You know, his desire is for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, what? That who shall ever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He wants the whole world to be saved. But there are some people that are going to choose not to do it. It's their choice. And it goes back when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. You know, Deuteronomy 30:19-20, he said, you know, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. You should choose life or death, blessings or cursings. But he loves us so much. It's an open book test, and he wants us so much to pass this. God, I don't care who it was or who it is, but choose life that you and your seed may live. What? And this is what Jesus is talking about here. Again, you know, it wasn't God's desire for people that were men and women of evil to get utterly destroyed and have to spend eternity in hell. God, hell was not created for man, but it's unfortunate. There's either heaven or hell. And I mean, again, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So let's turn to Isaiah. And we'll look at verses 42 and 46. Isaiah 42, verse 6. And it says, I, the Lord, Yehovah, called you in righteousness and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the Gentiles. Who's he talking about here? The servant of the Lord. Who's that? Jesus, correct. But it's talking to us too, because Acts 10:34 says, Peter said, I perceive God's not a respecter of persons. So I have a question. Is Jesus a person? So that verse is applicable to us. But it's capital Y-O-U and capital I's. And so he's talking about Jesus, but ultimately talking to us too. Because again, you know, Ephesians 5:1 says we're supposed to be imitators of God. And Jesus clearly said that how many times? I only do what my Father tells me to do and I only say what my Father tells me to say. And I think Jesus, being our older brother, if you will, firstborn among many brethren, I think it's highly imperative that we kind of maybe seek about this, the Lord about that on a daily basis. I'm not saying you don't, but just encourage you. Let's look at one of my favorite verses. And Pastor was teaching on this, and I was talking about it, and he was like, man, right before Hanukkah, he was teaching on this, and it got me excited. 1 Thessalonians, and it ministered to me when he was teaching on this. 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. That's awesome. And we know that James 1:17, another verse that he gave me foundational scripture for my ministry, was every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. And Pastor, you talked about that during the offering message. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Well, what are we? Living menorahs. Right? Whether you're a Jewish person or church, we're all living menorahs. And we are made in God's image, so we were made to dispel darkness. If we got the Holy Spirit, and we're saved, or Jews, because he still has a covenant with his people, right? Right? We're called to dispel darkness. Just our very presence. It's nothing we do. It's nothing Phil Rabb does. Because if Phil Rabb got what he deserved, I'd be a char mark on the ground right now. Seriously, there would be. But because of his love, his mercy, his forever loyalty is why I'm here. I'm going to read something to you that really ministered to me. And let me find it real quick. And it ties in, this verse in chapter ties into us. But in the original Hebrew, in Psalms, I like being led by the Lord. Man, just love it. So I think it's applicable right here, right? Psalms 136, verse 1. I've been studying this verse. I'm getting to teach, starting to put a teaching together on this. But this is what God's calling us to do. In Hebrew, it's Hadu l'Adonai ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. And the high priest would sing it, and they would chant it back, and they would sing it. And we know it as, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Wonderful verse. But in the original Hebrew, it is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, for he is good. For his covenant loyalty endures forever. There's a big difference. Then his mercy is a byproduct again. When, you know, praise God for King James and praise God for coming out of the dark age and putting this down and getting this interpreted. But the true Hebrew, for his covenant loyalty endures forever. Amen. So that's why we're made to dispel darkness. Psalms 36, 9, in his light we shall see light. You know, 1 Peter 2, 9, again, we're a chosen generation of royal priesthood. And so, which is awesome about Jesus, a couple more scriptures, and I'll kind of wrap up. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 2. A fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. And we'll look at verse 32. And let's go to verse 25 real quick. And it says, Simeon sees God's salvation. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't that interesting? Amen. That gift that God gave that man, you can miss that. He put the Holy Spirit, ascended upon this man, kind of like Enoch. He walked with God. I believe this guy was just like Simeon. The background was him and his sister came to the church, synagogue, every day. And they prayed, 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 and they prayed. And it says the Holy Spirit came upon him, or was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Whew. Isn't that awesome? And probably got mocked, ridiculed, and people, what are you doing, Simeon? And every day he did it, because you know what? God's faithful. If you know, and Pastor Jeff, you talked about it earlier tonight during service, and I loved it. It's another remembrance when he brought it up, and he says, you know, there's fellowship with him. And then there were the multitudes. Then there were the thousands, right? Then there were the hundreds. Then there were the 12, but then, ultimately, there were the 3 that always hung out with Jesus. I got another time, another place, but teaching on that and how God showed that to me. And it's a simple question. In a time of dedication, what I'm getting at is how we're supposed to be dedicating more of our time to him in this time of dedication, focusing on him, how we can be a better light, a better menorah. I hopefully I'm painting the correct picture of what this time of dedication means to all of us as the church. Why is it important? It's a time to reflect and focus, right? And so he prophesied, right? And he said here to him, he said, so he came, verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents had brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Jesus was being circumcised right before that. It talks about that. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "The Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." God is faithful to his word. He will watch over his word to what? Perform it. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Again, that mezuzah, we're talking about a focal point, a visual. God gave us five senses for us to enjoy him, but to also see him, right? "Which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." And we read that earlier, correct? "And the glory of your people Israel." And then Apostle Paul always stressed that. It's to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. Jesus even said, you know, "I come to the Jew first." Right? Isn't that awesome? He got to see the living menorah, Simeon, God's lamp. And, you know, and that's why it was revealed to, again, I touched on this verse, but David said in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word's a lamp." And Solomon said in Proverbs 6, 23, "Your word is light," because they would have known by studying Torah. It would have been revealed to them by studying God's word. Right? 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 3 says the lamp is symbolizes the word of God. Again, we talked on that. So basically, Proverbs 29, 18, let's turn there. And that focal point, we're talking about that. A time of reflection and dedication. And light does what? It illuminates what? A lot of times, things that we got to get rid of in our life, correct? Mm-hmm. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. But he does it like a gentleman. He's not going to force you to get rid of anything. It's your choice. We, you know, Deuteronomy, like I said, Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20 clearly spells that out. But it says here in Proverbs 29, 18, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law," or the word. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you're not relying on God's word, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, correct? We already read that. We're on a slippery slope, which leads to lasciviousness, which is like it's cancer. That's cancer and sin form, Christians. You know what? And it could be anything. It could be pornography. It could be smoking cigarettes. You could be saved. It could be, you know, eating too much. It could be anything, okay? But lasciviousness is very, very evil, and it creeps in very subtly. It's not going to hurt me. It's okay. And this is a time, basically for the church, why it's so important to celebrate God's feast is because it's a time, let's get our focus back and get our dedication back on who he is and what he's called us to do. It's, you know, does that make sense? So, you know, 2 Peter 1:19, "We have a more sure word of prophecy. The word is like a light that shines in a dark place." In Matthew 7:14, what did Jesus say there? He said, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it." It gives us a picture of the word. God is a torch on a narrow path that leads to light. Let's look at Matthew 6, verses 24, or 22 and 24. The lamp of the body. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And Jesus is asking this question. And what's he saying here? In Hebrew, an eye symbolizes, when people say in Hebrew, "Ayin tova," means good eye. Right? Or "Ayin raha," which means bad eye. So the word of God dispels darkness. It dispels confusion. And I love your confession of faith. What do you guys say? You're saying, you're confessing, this is what I believe. You're dispelling the darkness out of your life. Each time you confess that and you get taught or you read your Torah, your word, it dispels darkness, confusion, ignorance, fear, superstition, and the dangers of the human situation. Ultimately is what we're doing here. So this menorah, whether it is the seven-candle menorah or the Hanukkah menorah, it represents the very thing that God's called us to be as Christians and as Jews. As we know, the very first act in creation, the present universe, came with God's spoken word, light be. But if you break it down in the original Hebrew, I wrote this down, it is truly what he said was, et heor, which means the light. And it's capital T-H-E, capital L-I-G-H-T, meaning the light. Meaning what? Jesus and God, correct. The light. Because what illuminated the earth for 3 days? God's glory. Until the fourth day when he separated day and night with the sun and moon and the stars, correct? That didn't happen to the fourth day of creation. Don't take my word for it. Go back to Genesis 1 and read that. But it's the light, right? So basically, when the numerical value of that phrase, et heor, and we talked about gematria, correct? Each Hebrew letter has a number. It's the total sum of 613. And that's the exact number of commandments God gave Moshe on Mount Sinai, 613. It's the exact same number. See, in John, again, I touch on this, but John would have known this. John 1:1 and John verse 4. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him was the life, and the life was the light of men, he said, correct? So I think this would take on a deeper meaning of why Hanukkah is kind of the festival of lights, but it's rededication. And what I'm trying to say to myself and my family, I explained this to in our private Bible studies. My wife, and Dr. Red had her Hebrew class, and was blessed to be able to light the menorah, and I kind of touched on it, and so did she. And it's a time of, right now we should be just focusing ourselves and separating ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. It says right here, I'll touch on this in a couple more things and I'll close, but it says, just as Jesus was dedicated to be the servant of all, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, and this is Mark 9:35, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and a servant of all. So during this time of celebrating the Feast of Dedication, I asked this question to myself and to you, how can we be more dedicated to God and his will for our lives? Or how does Jesus, Yeshua's being the light of life, impact our life as followers of him in this darkened world? Right? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? Jesus Christ is in you. Paul asked that question, but he knew that because he knew the feasts. Romans 12:1 says what? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. So again, during this time of, I wrote this down, miracles and dedication, as we are called to be the true children of light, let us reflect and examine ourselves to see how we can draw closer to Jesus. Because Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God like their children. And let's always remember, James 1:17 again, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. That is awesome. Amen. And I saved the last blessing, and I'll say that, and I'll do the Birkat Kohanim if that's okay with you, Pastor. And we'll turn off tape. I just want to, then we'll pray. Yeah, amongst ourselves here, real quick. I feel it's important. But the second blessing is awesome. So we would read, there's three blessings you would read on the first day. But you only read the third blessing on the first day. So the second blessing is Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shesesha Nisim Lo'ovatanu Bayomiyim Hahem Bizman Hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who performed miracles for our forefathers in those days and at that time. I'm going to get my tallit. And say the blessing over my tallit before I put it on. Always you put the atara facing toward you. That's the crown on your tallit. And you say, Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu, Lahitatif Batzitzit. Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments or mitzvahs, and has commanded ourselves to wrap ourselves in tzitzit. Focus on the blessing of God. Yevei kikar adonai veishmurecha yad adonai panav elecha vechunecha yesa adonai panav elecha veshem lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you, and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom. Amen.